Welcome to the first episode of Useful Charts. It's useful charts, not useful charts, as my lawyers would be more than happy to explain. Today we're gonna take a look at the family tree of Muslim rulers of Spain and Portugal during the 8 centuries of political presence of Muslims on the Iberian Peninsula. This is going to be sort of a recap of my Al-Andalus series, so if you're interested in the story in more detail, be sure to check out that playlist. Link will be at the end of the video, in the corner right now, and in the description. This video is sponsored by Magellan TV. Magellan TV is a streaming service that hosts over 3,000 documentaries and shows in various genres, from history to science, as well as travel and art. They're adding new shows all the time, which you can enjoy on all sorts of devices. Also, best of all, there are no ads and an increasing percentage of shows is available in 4K with no additional cost. They were kind enough to offer Al-Muqaddimah viewers an extended free month-long trial. You can go to try.magellantv/Al-Muqaddimah to take advantage of that. The link is also in the description. Since you're probably stuck indoors and can't travel for unfortunate and historic reasons, I would recommend their series Europe from Above, which shows various destinations in Europe such as Switzerland and Germany. It's almost as good as traveling there, but less expensive and with less risk of catching a virus. I mean, you can still catch the virus if you order a pizza and the delivery guy sneezes on you or something, but that can happen anywhere. Secondly, you should watch The Quran, Journey to the Book's Origin. It's an interesting documentary about the origins of the Quran. If anything, hopefully, it'll inspire you to start your own research on the new facts about the origins of the Quran. Again, you can take advantage of a month-long free trial by clicking the link in the description. Back to the video. While Iberia was conquered by the Muslims in 711, we're gonna start in 756, when Abdurrahman was declared the first Umayyad Emir of Cordoba. His grandfather was Caliph Hisham, who ruled the Umayyad Caliphate from 724 to 743. He is often considered the last powerful Umayyad Caliph. After his death, the empire went into a fast decline and the Umayyads were overthrown by the Abbasids. In the massacre that ensued, Umayyad princes were slaughtered, but one prince, Abdurrahman, ran and made his way to Spain, where he gathered some followers and established power in Cordoba. He spent most of his life trying to establish a dynasty there. He is the one who built the Grand Mosque of Cordoba, these days called Mezquita Catedral de Cordoba. I hope that was right, I don't speak Spanish. He died in 788. His son Hisham seized power after him and became the next emir. He is generally considered to have been a nice, pious guy who attended almost all funerals in Cordoba. His son Al-Hakam was almost the exact opposite of his father. He was challenged by his uncles, Suleiman and Abdullah. While he defeated and executed Suleiman, Abdullah went to Charlemagne for help, although he didn't get much help from him. He was able to broker a deal with Al-Hakam and became the ruler of Valencia. Al-Hakam is considered the most bloodthirsty of all Cordovan rulers because of how brutally he crushed rebellions. After him, Abdurrahman II, like his namesake Abdurrahman I, became a great ruler, known for his building projects and patronage of artists. During his reign, Christians became rebellious and started protesting by publicly insulting Islam and Prophet Muhammad. Even when given the chance to ask forgiveness, the Christians would choose martyrdom and be executed. He even forced the local clergy to preach against this, but it didn't work. After him, the emirate slid into anarchy. During the reign of his son Muhammad, many vassals began to break away, and rebellions among Muslims became commonplace. Muhammad had a hard time suppressing these rebellions. After his death, his son Al-Muntir reigned for a short while before dying and leaving the emirate to Abdullah, who would prove to be the worst of the Umayyad emirs. It's possible that he was the one who murdered his brother to become the ruler. Whether he wanted to become one or not, he was not a very active ruler. He became isolated and paranoid. He killed three of his sons and two of his brothers, other than Al-Muntir. His son Muhammad, who would have been the likely heir, was killed by his other son Al-Mutarrif with Abdullah's order or at least approval. By the time he died, he barely controlled the emirate outside Cordoba. However, during this time, other junior branches of the family held on to power and were able to at least keep the emirate on life support. On his deathbed, Abdullah finally made a good decision. He chose his young grandson, Abdurrahman, as the next emir of Cordoba. Abdurrahman III, like his namesake forefathers before him, would prove a great ruler. He was a gifted diplomat and a politician. He quashed rebellions quickly and took the emirate to new heights. During his reign, the Fatimid Caliphate was rising in North Africa. As they declared themselves to be caliphs, Abdurrahman had to meet them at their level. So, being a descendant of the old Umayyad caliphs of Damascus, he declared himself Caliph of Cordoba in 929. He was a great patron of science, art, and culture. During his reign, Cordoba became the most important intellectual center in the world. His great building projects include Medinat al-Zahra, a vast palace city outside Cordoba. He is also said to have openly had a male and a female harem. It's said that he kept a journal of how his days went and how he felt about them. Upon his death, he's said to have noted that he only had 14 days of happiness in his life. His son Al-Hakam II had inherited a great and prosperous caliphate, and he kept it going. However, it's said that he was probably homosexual. His son and heir, Hisham II, was born when Al-Hakam was 46, and his nickname for his wife was Jafar, a masculine name. Also, Jafar was the name of his childhood best friend. It's said that his wife Subh even had short hair and dressed like a man, perhaps to make herself more attractive to Al-Hakam. Whatever the case, Al-Hakam had a stroke and died, leaving the caliphate to young Hisham II, a mere 11-year-old. He became a puppet at the hand of his vizier Al-Mansur. However, the caliphate was now doomed to fail. Instability and rebellions ensued, and after various short-term caliphs came and went, the caliphate was officially abolished in 1031. Hisham III became its 16th and last ruler, although his power was not recognized by everyone. The territory of the former caliphate broke apart into various small states called Taifas. They were too weak to face the Christians to the north, and after Toledo fell in 1085, the local rulers asked the newly formed Almoravids to the south for help. The Almoravid movement had started as a religious movement, but had ever since become an empire. The founder of the movement was a man named Abdullah ibn Yasin, who had allied with two brothers, Abu Bakr and Yahya of the Banu Durgut clan of the Sanhaja Berbers. After the death of Yahya, Abu Bakr became the sole ruler, but he was deposed by his cousin Yusuf ibn Tashfin. It was Yusuf that the Muslims of Spain asked for help. He landed in Spain and quickly consolidated power by annexing the Taifas and bringing them under his control. He even defeated the Christians, and hence he's remembered as a great conqueror. His wife, Zainab al-Nafsaviyah, was a formidable woman and almost shared in her husband's power. One historian even writes that the only difference between her and her husband's power was that the khutbah, the Friday sermon, was not said in her name. After Yusuf's death, his son Ali inherited both Morocco and Spain. However, by the end of his reign, a new religious movement was rising up. A man named Ibn Tumart founded his own religious movement, not unlike what the Almoravids had been. His movement was called the Almohad, and they quickly became a threat for the Almoravids. After him, his successor Abdul Mumin founded the Almohad dynasty. He defeated the Almoravids within 5 years of Ali ibn Yusuf's reign. Ishaq ibn Ali became its seventh and last ruler. While Abdul Mumin's family tree might not be tall, it is certainly wide. That's because he put many of his sons as governors of many important cities. After conquering both Morocco and Spain, he installed his sons as almost autonomous rulers in Spain. Before he died, he had assembled a large army to invade Christian lands to the north. However, after his death, his son Yusuf wasn't able to do much. While he was a patron of science and art, he wasn't much of a warrior. He even failed to conquer small, insignificant towns. He was killed during a siege when his army fell back and, in confusion, his tent was left behind. His son, Yaqub al-Mansur, would prove to be a great warrior. He momentarily halted the Reconquista, even though it seemed impossible because of the inherent problems of ruling Muslim Spain. Although he couldn't achieve much either, his son Muhammad al-Nasir lost a decisive battle to the Christians, which is known as the Battle of Las Navas de Tolosa today. He died the next year, and his young son spent most of his reign under a regency until he was gored to death by a pet cow or bull. A brother of Yaqub al-Mansur, Abdul Wahid, was made caliph, but this led to internal disputes and he was overthrown by Abdullah al-Adil, Muhammad al-Nasir's brother. The various branches of the family picked up the sword for their claim to power. Spain was abandoned by them around 1230. It led to a rapid decline as vassals started rebelling, and within 30 years, the empire was gone. After the collapse of the Almohad, cities such as Seville and Cordoba fell to the Christians, and various small states appeared out of the debris. However, only one of them was able to hang on against the tide of the Christians from the north. They used whatever they could to survive. Diplomacy, tributes, good old begging, you name it. The first ruler, Muhammad ibn Yusuf ibn Nasr, also known as Ibn al-Ahmar, was able to make a deal with the Christians to keep his kingdom. He was the first of many Muhammads to come. He was the one who built the Alhambra Palace in Granada. His son Muhammad II juggled the complicated alliances where he allied with the Christian Castilians to the north and Muslim Marinids to the south whenever needed. After Muhammad II, Muhammad III actually took the offensive to the Marinids and conquered Ceuta in North Africa. This resulted in a joint response from the Christians and the Marinids, but Muhammad III was overthrown in favor of his brother Nasr, who used diplomacy to save his kingdom. He himself was overthrown by his nephew Ismail, who was a member of the Nasrids as well. Ismail, as the pattern was starting to emerge, was also assassinated by the elites, who would do the same to his son and heir Muhammad IV. Yusuf ibn Ismail was a decent ruler, but he wasn't able to do much either. During his reign, Gibraltar was taken by the Christians for the first time in around 600 years. Yusuf was killed in a mosque, apparently by a madman. Muhammad V was only 16 when he became Sultan. His unpopular subservience to the Christians led to him being deposed by his brother Ismail II. Ismail II was killed by his co-conspirator, who became Muhammad VI. Although Muhammad V came back and deposed him around 1362, he died in 1391, leaving behind a pretty decent sultanate. His son, Yusuf II, died after a short reign. Muhammad VII was very young when he became sultan. He didn't achieve much either. All of these sultans had small, meaningless conflicts with the Christians that went nowhere. He was succeeded by his brother Yusuf III. Yusuf III died in 1417, and his son, Muhammad VIII, was very young as well. He was deposed by Muhammad IX. Muhammad IX was deposed and then returned, and then deposed again and then returned again. However, he died in 1453 and did not return for some reason. Muhammad X had been a short-lived ruler of Granada during one of those times that Muhammad IX was deposed. However, before he died, Muhammad IX chose the son of Muhammad VIII to be his heir, who later took the title of Muhammad XI. Muhammad wasn't popular and the elites propped up Saad. Saad defeated and deposed Muhammad XI. After coming to power, Saad invited all the members of the elites who had put him in power over at a banquet and had them all killed. He in turn was overthrown by his own son, Abul Hasan Ali, who in turn would be overthrown by his son, Muhammad XII, also known as Boabdil. During all this instability, King Ferdinand II of Aragon and Queen Isabella I of Castile started aggressively attacking the Muslim kingdom. Boabdil at the time was fighting a war against his uncle, Muhammad XIII. To prove himself, he attacked the Christians, where he was captured and only allowed to leave if he surrendered his son and the sons of his supporters. However, he could not defend against the Christians, and after losing city after city, finally on January 2nd, 1492, he surrendered Granada. Muslim political existence in Spain and Portugal was over after 781 years. Over the following centuries, Muslims would be persecuted and given the choice between conversion, exile, and execution. See you next time. This video was the first in my series covering various family trees from the Islamic world, so don't forget to subscribe to watch those. Also, don't forget to like, share, and comment to let me know your thoughts on this video and the new series. Also, you can pledge a dollar or more on my Patreon, and you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and OnlyFans. Thank you for watching.